This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
From North, South, East, and West, North America, Japan, and back again, this is your home for modern-day wrestling. With the occasional trip back in time, it's Place to Be Nation's main event. Now let's head into Studio B with your host, Scott Criscolo, and the godfather, Nate Milton.
Place to Be Nation. Oh, well. Good night. Welcome to your home for everything modern day wrestling, if there is any left. Place to Be Nation's main event. I am your tri-host, Scott Criscolo. Episode 144. And there are a ton of 44s in the history of professional sports. There are some today that are not playing at all. But there were some back in the day. And we'll talk about a few of them tonight. We got a ton to talk about, but we really don't. Well, we do. We do. Let me bring in the crew. He is the purveyor of the Kings of Sport Patreon, and he's going to let us know who his teammate was that wore 44, because I'm getting that jersey on eBay or on one of those Hong Kong sites. The Godfather, Nate Milton.
What is going on, Brother Scott? What is going on, everybody? In light of recent events, I've decided to take some harsh measures this week on the main event. The first thing I'm going to do, Scotty, is I'm going to suspend my naming a player with the jersey number until the second half of the show.
Okay.
It's not something I take lightly, but it's something that we feel is in the best interest of the safety of the listeners. The second thing I'm doing, which might be more important, is we are no longer taking any guests that have appeared on the Jenny Position feed, because we don't know what's going on over there. We're only accepting guests from Place to Be Nation and from the Kings of Sport. The Jenny Position, 30 days, we'll talk to you. But for now, we're not accepting any guests that have appeared on the Jenny Position. We're sorry. We have to be safe in these trying times.
Oh, God, I can't breathe. Oh, man. Sorry, Tim. Sanitize or be kind, rewind. Be kind, sanitize. I don't know, that doesn't rhyme either. Anyway, a guy who I know is always squeaky clean in conscience and otherwise, Mr. Steve Willie. Did you even go to the gym? Why did you even go to the gym? I think you'd find that beneath you in a moment like this.
Okay, I could tell you guys why later. I can get into the psychology behind it. But I am wanting to say, like, in these trying times, like, this episode of Main Event will be taped with no fans in attendance.
Oh, okay.
So sorry, Nunez. Like, he's been knocking on Nunez has been knocking on the door all day long, and I'm like, sorry, buddy.
Sorry, buddy. Not gonna happen.
Wouldn't Jenny be safe to have on this show because her blood's probably pickled from all the alcohol?
That is true. We might catch a contact high from Jenny, but not. We won't contract coronavirus. So yeah.
And
I might have to rethink my position.
It's a virus, not bacteria.
Speaking of a guy that empties a room, we have a guest with us tonight for the first time in a while. He is the co-host of Body Pressure Luck, which nobody's pressing any bodies right now. He has been the host of past great shows on this Place to Be Wrestling feed. And he is an alumnus, that's the singular, of this show. But again, he knows how to clear a room, everybody. Mr. Jordan Duncan.
You know, if you need to do a show that has no fans, you call the expert in. I can cancel a show quicker than they can cancel a school, Scott.
Oh, man. Well, gentlemen, I could say there's nothing to talk about, but of course there is a lot to talk about.
Yes.
Today is one of the most unusual days in the history of the world. I mean, I was on the air. I mean, and we're not going to sit here and compare, because I've seen it on various threads and stuff. We're not going to sit here and compare, like, the levity or the brevity or gravity or anything else in an E of this day compared to other days. Like, I'm not going to say this is better or worse than 9/11 or better or worse than, you know, somebody older would say Kennedy's assassinated. Nothing like that. That's, we're not going to do that because that's stupid. But it definitely goes on the list of just days you'll never forget in your life.
Where were you when the Fat Boys broke up?
I was there. I broke them up too. So. I cancel everything.
You when you saw Jaws: The Revenge.
I mean, this is just one of the weirdest days in the history of the world. D'Amato sent me a picture that was pretty funny. It was I don't know if it was a real back of the New York Post or a mock up, but it said. Usually the back of the New York Post says the best sports in town. Well, the back of the Post said no sports in town. And it said, and it says the day, it says today's date and the day that sports stopped.
Yeah. Now, and was John at, John usually goes to the Big East tournament.
He was not there today. No, okay. He was not there. Neither was Rotella, because he usually goes too.
Yeah.
But that
I didn't
only,
go this year.
Yeah. That was the only, you'd be playing right now. I think your game was last today. Yeah. Seton Hall and Marquette was supposed to be the last game, so it would be going on right now. That was the only conference tournament day that actually started. They played till the half. St. John's is actually beating Creighton, the number one seed, and then the league, and then of course the conference bagged it along with the ACC, AAC, Big Ten, SEC, yada yada yada.
Yep.
I never thought a day would come in my life. Now everybody knows where I work and what I do for my job and how chaotic this month is for me.
Sure.
And I didn't know what to think when I saw it on Twitter and it came up on our CBS HQ, which is the channel you get when you download the CBS Sports app, that the NCAA tournament has been canceled. And I don't know what to do. Should I be happy? Should I be sad? Am I not going to, I mean, now I don't have to record, you know, record 48 games over 4 days next weekend. I don't know what to make of it. I just totally perplexed. And then the NBA stopped and the NHL stopped and then MLS stopped and the XFL ended and,
that was the real tragedy.
Yeah, that was it. Once
right when we were getting ready for the Dallas Renegades and the Washington D.C. Defenders, the rivalry that has spanned eons, we had that snatched away from us by the cruel hand of fate, Scott Crescola.
Yes. I mean, it's kind of nuts. What is going on? And obviously, we are here to talk about the big elephant in the room that has not been talked about yet anywhere, and that is, of course, April 5th at the Pirate Ship. I am, of course, talking about WrestleMania and what is going on down in Tampa. We have not heard an official word as of this broadcast, as of this recording, and when it comes up Friday morning on the Place to Be Wrestling feed and placetobenation.com, we may still not hear anything. But my take is at some point today, and if you're listening to this Saturday, Sunday, or next week, this is probably going to be dated. But I believe at some point in the next 24 hours from when I am talking, we will see. We will. They said a week. I think it's a day that WrestleMania will be postponed. I don't think there's any question. As a matter of fact, I think that decision's already been made. My opinion. I think what it's coming down to is two things, and I want your guys' thoughts around the horn. Number one, I think the city of Tampa wanted to give Vince at least a week to come up with his game plan, because Vince hates not having something in his control, but he hasn't had anything in his control since 2000 when the company went public. And so that's that. Number two, somebody had an interesting theory. I don't know if it was one of our chats or somewhere on Twitter, that the reason there's this Mexican standoff between Vince and the city of Tampa is because if Tampa cancels WrestleMania, Vince is owed insurance money. Mm. If Vince cancels WrestleMania, Tampa will be like, well, this is your fault. So public safety be damned. This is all about money. And I mean, it's getting canceled. I mean, we're not stupid. I mean, they closed fucking Disney World, for Christ's sakes. I mean, And another thing that I wanted to bring up, and then I'll go around the horn. I want everybody's thoughts. WrestleMania, the specific show, isn't even the problem. Think about access. Yeah. 5 days of thousands of people standing within centimeters of each other in a long line trying to get fucking Heath Slater's autograph.
Hey, he's got kids.
That's the problem. It's not the show. Fucking coughing like crazy.
Kids are at no risk of COVID-19.
Pretty much at this point, yeah.
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 Except they're probably carrying it in their snot-ass noses.
Exactly.
Licking door handles and stuff.
Yeah. And poopy diapers and, well, no one wears a diaper that old. Well, maybe. You're Ole Anderson, maybe. Steve, give me your whole take on the whole thing. Just let me.
Jesus.
Just everything.
I have been listening to sports radio literally all day, with the exception of the 50 minutes that I watched the match we're going to talk about in segment two. And shout out to, I recommend, like, if anyone wants to listen to good sports radio, WSCR in Chicago, 670. They usually are a bit more cerebral than guys falling asleep at the computer. and so they've had some really good content on today, and also, you know, kind of, you know, having some silliness as well, which, you know, we're going to need over the next few weeks. One thing that I took from this is that, one, the NBA pretty darn progressive in their care for their players and their fans, being the first one to step forward. You know, Rudy Gobert not included in this discussion, but to literally run out on the court a minute before tip off or even less and be like, you know what, this is over. And then to cancel the entire season immediately. And then everyone else is kind of like, I don't know, you know, we might. And then, you know, as Vince is doing right now, and even NCAA tournament saying, oh, we're going to play this in front of fans, you know, no fans. And then we talked about the Big East before we went on the air, you know, home to a lot of our favorite teams. And they were playing today and stopped the game at halftime. So first of all, so shout out to NBA for being so forward thinking. My thoughts about WrestleMania are couplefold. First of all, I like what you're saying about access. And recently, before we went on the air, the convention hall that is holding access, two of the employees tested positive for coronavirus.
Yeah. So
we also have
what's left to do there, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to try to be like I have inside scoop or anything, but I was told by a relative not to say anything about this. But like in the state of Wisconsin, we have zero testing kits right now. Zero.
Wow.
So there are several people that are in the area, in Green Bay at least, in a Fond du Lac, which is like the mistake by the lake. But they can't formally say they have the virus because they have no testing kits. Mm. So we had, before we went on there also, the head of the health department in Ohio said that there's possibly 100,000 people infected in Ohio, and we have, which seems a little high, but we have no way of knowing at this point. So the sporting events being canceled for who knows how long, concerts now being canceled for who knows how long. I do appreciate the fact that they're saying, you know, we're going to give it a week because this is 3 weeks out. It's an open air stadium, you know, blah, blah. But baseball has delayed the start of the season 2 weeks. I know that they're starting early, like last week of March. So that will push that to like what, like April 12th-ish. They're open air stadiums as well that hold, you know, 40, 50,000 people. If they are canceling the games or at least postponing them, there's no way that they're going to let WrestleMania go on. I'm assuming it will be postponed and moved to May, June, whatever. It's going to be a pain in the butt for a lot of people. You also have to remember that there's the travel ban from Europe right now for Europeans coming over. WrestleMania gets a lot of people coming in from Europe.
Yep.
You know, some of like, remember like Dolph Ziggler when he won the title? That was that huge reaction was pushed by a lot of European fans. And
idiots.
Who let them in? It is Jersey. Listen, he probably smelled.
Dolph Ziggler and Otis, hottest angle in the company right now. So I do think it's going to be delayed. I, of course, I hope that this turns out to that we are overreacting. I think overreacting is over-preparing for this virus coming in, and everything is hunky-dory, and maybe by mid-April, end of April, this will be worked out. But, nah, I don't think this is happening.
What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, you know, I agree with a lot of what Steve said. Like, obviously, there's no way they can go through with this. I like the theory of Vince and the city of Tampa kind of playing chicken over a buck because it feels true. But even if there's no money involved, I think Vince, being the stubborn old man that he is, would rather have the city call it than he be the one to postpone WrestleMania. Because in his mind, it makes him look better. You know, there's nothing I could do, pal. The city said that we couldn't do it. But I think, like, not only access, you know, that you brought up, Scotty, but WrestleMania is not a singular entity. It is a nucleus around which an entire week of wrestling revolves around. And so, like, just the amount of people going to these indie shows or going to these meet and greets and things like that, that's a lot of bodies in one area at one time from a lot of different places around the world. And you can't check everybody. So I think that it's the right call. I think once the NBA made their decision last night, every other major sports league, including, you know, sports entertainment, it was a wrap, because if the NBA, as powerful and as popular as they are, can make this call, then you don't have any moral high ground to stand upon if you continue with your show, because you're putting not only the customers in danger, but you're putting your workers in danger. And so I think it's the right call. I think in terms of just generally speaking, you know, we spoke to Alex Patel on the Kings of Sport this week, who is a critical care doctor up in Toronto. And he kind of specializes in, you know, dealing with viruses and stuff like that. And basically, you know, he echoed a lot of what Steve said in terms of, yeah, this isn't doomsday, but you need to prepare for the worst and plan for the best. And so, yeah, I think this is something like, we'll be dealing with this for the better part of this month and maybe into April. Like, we don't know how long this is going to go. Is it going to be something that bubbles up quick and then fades out quick, or is it going to be something, you know, they keep talking about suppression is a better way to go. And if you go that route, then it's going to be a more prolonged thing, more protracted. So yeah, it sucks for a lot of people. You know, it sucks for the performers. It sucks for the company. It sucks for the fans that were planning to make this trip to Tampa. It sucks for, you know, people who are trying to either get refunds or wait and see what the WWE does so they can plan accordingly whenever they do put WrestleMania on. And so I think right now you're going to be in a situation where everything is kind of up in the air. And so we've already seen and heard yesterday and today about, you know, TV being moved around in both the WWE and AEW. And so it's going to be interesting to see what these companies do, what these sports leagues do, what, you know, these entertainment facilities do, like you were talking about Disney earlier. And so, yeah, this is serious. Like, this is not a joke, Rudy Gobert. This is an Evander Holyfield disease. It's the real deal. So we have to act accordingly.
What do you think, JD?
Yeah, I think something Nate just said, this is serious. I think that kind of sparks why this day is so memorable, because I think for a lot of us in the days leading up, you know, it's kind of about like memes and kind of half jokingly talking about it and comparing it to the flu and this and that. But then all of a sudden you see like leagues are being canceled and big events are being canceled, things that most of us have never experienced in our life all of a sudden you realize, oh, wow, this is a big deal. I also kind of echo what Steve said, that I think the NBA, it does not surprise me that they were the ones who made the first move. And I think a lot of these organizations, WWE included, but not exclusively WWE, are probably, you know, waiting for someone else to make that first move. And so when the NBA did it, it made it easier for these other people who, in their defense, and I don't think of them as monsters or anything like that, are probably thinking of the bottom line and thinking of the money and thinking of the money lost. And there's probably going to be a lot of money lost. And I can sympathize with that. You know, I'm Mr. Bash the WWE, but I truly would not want to be in Vince's shoes in this situation. Like, even if he were to be stubborn and say, no, we're going to do it, what if they hold the show and people don't come out of fear? Like, and you have WrestleMania with a half empty arena, you know, like,
right. That's the other thing.
You know, that's
people
may
be like, well, fuck this.
Right. They could choose to say, no, we're going to do it. And people might say, no, there's not even toilet paper in the stores. We ain't going to WrestleMania, you know? Right. The other thing, just to make light of it, is having been to many wrestling shows in my life, one of the things that they tell us over and over, and I'm sure we've all heard this, is, you know, washing hands and hygiene is a really important thing. And I've been around wrestling fans enough to know that's not high on our priority list all that often. So that's not a crowd I think that I want to be around in a time like this. But I really do think that, you know, the insurance thing that you brought up is an interesting point. And I think there's something to be said about the optics of Vince making the call, or Vince saying to his fans, it was out of my hands, and maybe even trying to decide what is the better look. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with, you know, handling the PR of it all. You know, that's part of what he has to do. And I think that you can make an argument that both cases are good. You know, Vince coming out and saying, we care about our fans, we're going to stop this. Or Vince coming out and saying, we wanted to entertain our fans, but we have to respect the wishes of the county or the state. And I think that's probably what we're hearing a lot behind closed doors. I don't think they're still arguing about if they should have it, but how they announce that it's going to be postponed. Mm-hmm. The other thing I would say, too, in defense of the WWE, like the Major League Baseball, they're delaying their league start by a couple weeks. But there's a lot of baseball games to be played. Like, WrestleMania is a one-time event, mm-hmm. and I think it's probably going to be tougher for them to pull that trigger and say, we won't do it, because it's once a year. You know, baseball can knock 20 games off their schedule, still have 140 games for every team. There's one WrestleMania. And so I think it is probably tougher, but I don't think we're going to see it in April either. Well, they've already announced SmackDown tomorrow is going to be Performance Center, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
So, and that may be
your
what
backyard,
we see.
Originally.
That may be what we see for the next couple weeks. And that's fine. You know, I think these next few weeks, not just in terms of wrestling, but in terms of television, like, I saw a tweet, somebody said, what is going to be on ESPN for the next 2 weeks? And sadly, the answer is Stephen A. Smith, you know, like, screaming into the void, you know, but yeah, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks just to see, as we live in a culture that's so driven by large events and sports entertainment, to have that just kind of taken from us for a while. It's going to be interesting to see how we react. So,
it's esports time to shine, baby. Everybody just stay in your house and get on your video game system.
Play some 2K.
Yes.
But yeah, I think we're all in agreement that we're not going to see WrestleMania on April 5th. If we are, we're watching an old one on the network. But in terms of who announces it and when, I think it'll be sooner rather than later. I don't think they can delay it much longer, especially since all these other organizations have already come out and said, like, baseball doesn't start for another couple weeks, and they already said a couple weeks out, we're not doing it. So yeah, it's just a matter of who announces it and what their explanation is.
At this point, in terms of PR, does it even matter? Like, that's what I was saying before about the pissing match. Like, Vince needs to make sure he's the good – but to make sure to who? To himself? To us? I don't fucking care who says it. Just cancel it. Move on. I don't give a shit.
He had to be the one who had the final decision on the XFL, wouldn't he?
Yeah, that makes me laugh too. We have to protect – we need to be out there so Roman Reigns and Goldberg can wrestle in the virus, but we need to protect Cardale Jones. Really?
Because they were the –
who's making a 20th of what? If we're protecting the guys making $25,000, we need to protect the guys making 925,000. Right. You know what I mean?
My guess is their hope was probably that there wouldn't be reports of cases in Florida, but obviously that's not the case. Like, I think I saw that I can't think of the county, but wherever Pittsburgh is, they're basically saying, no, we're not canceling stuff because I guess they don't have reported incidents or patients yet. So I think that's what's interesting, too, is that, like, as a country, we're not seeing, like, a uniform agreement on things. Like, even where I live, like, the universities are going to online schooling, but my kids' schools aren't closed yet. But yet, 10 minutes from us, those schools are closed. And so I think it's going to be, like, kind of like a domino effect. Once they all start falling, they will. But, you know, I think maybe that's what they were holding out hope is, you know, well, it hasn't hit Florida yet, but it has.
And I mean, there are some cases. I mean, I'm for me personally, I right after Mania, another week, not that week, but the week after, I'm doing a road trip with myself, my mom, and a few other people to North Carolina for a week. We're staying at a house out in the Outer Banks. And you know, my mom's 81. I mean, she's with it. I mean, she's, you know, her health's not solid, but she's still 81. And, you know, what if I go down there and I bring back something?
Right.
And I pass it on, and I'm in a car with her for 15 hours or 16 hours. And, you know, there's too many variables in anybody's life that need to be taken into account. And in the grand scheme of things, so you fucking rip up the script and fucking do something else. I mean, sure. Is it really that big a fucking deal? Sure. Really?
Yeah.
Some people love doing that.
There's a small handful of things in life, gentlemen, that are worth dying for. You know, your country, your family, your loved ones. Drew Dan McIntyre is not one of those things.
No.
Yes,
I don't care how many times you count down. I'm not dying for you, man.
I think my prediction is they're just going to say it's postponed and then they're going to work through the weekend. It's going to stay in Tampa. I'm saying second week of June. I will say Sunday, June 14th will be Money in the Mania. Wrestle in the Bank. They're gonna have a briefcase hanging from a helicopter above Raymond James Stadium.
They're gonna bring the one in from Japan.
Yeah, yes, the one that was on Easter Island or whatever the hell. I'm leaving that to you, Steve. All the details because I couldn't read half that crap. So,
you know what's funny about this too is this could be a blessing for the WWE. Like the biggest criticism people hoist against them is their creative, but when they're kind of thrown into tough circumstances and they don't have time to be overly creative, that's usually when they're their best. You know, like the snowed out episode of was it Raw?
It was after the 2015 Rumble.
I mean, that's
I drove in that
some of their best Me stuff, you know,
drove in that mess.
The episode of SmackDown after one of the Saudi shows
when all of them were stuck overseas. Now obviously they'll have more time to play here, but you know, it might, maybe we'll see some excitement from the product. I don't know.
And honestly, let's be honest, guys. Brass tacks. Let's forget the not political. That's not the right word I want to, because that just goes out of control. And I think that's just mind rattle. That's just clouding the mix. Let's not get into that. Let's look at it from just a base creative. We've already gone over the modern day everyday life aspect of it. We could have a little fun here. How many of these feuds are that important?
You're right.
That we can't wait a little while for it. Mm-hmm. Like, we all knew Roman Reigns was beating Goldberg. Mm-hmm. We're not sure about Brock and Drew. That's fair.
I think the tough one is Edge and Orton, because I think that one's pretty hot right now. So they're going to have to keep that one stoked. And how they do that for another couple months, keeping them apart from each other, could be tough. That's about it.
I mean, the percentage is high. I mean, I won't say it's a guarantee. The percentage is high that Shayna beats Becky. I wouldn't say it's a guarantee, but the percentage is high.
Like 60-40.
The match that I'm going to be bummed out missing is Rhea and Charlotte, because A, they're both smoke shows, and B, I think that would have been I think that would be a fun fucking bludgeon fest. I was looking forward to that just because the two would just pound the crap out of each other. That was the one I'm actually the most.
I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you, Scott. Go ahead.
Why? You don't think either of them are hot? Come on, Steve.
No. Like, couldn't that, like, some of these lesser matches,
and lesser meaning like not your main events.
Yeah,
right. Be done on like very special episode of Raw from the PC, and they just like let them go for 30 minutes. You know, just like an all-timer.
You're gonna say very, very special Raw.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns goes to the bike shop.
I don't want to wait for our lives to be over.
I want to know. Yes.
He makes up with Seth.
Smack
they look down. Longingly into each other's eyes as he fades black.
Yep. Shields Creek. Not Dawson's Creek. Shields Creek.
Shields Creek.
Although right now they're in Schitt's Creek.
But, yeah.
Yeah. And not the show, which is awesome, by the way. So, like, honestly, from a creative perspective, because if that's what's bothering them, get the fuck over it. I mean, seriously, nobody cares. Seriously, nobody cares. The only matches that, and again, we're talking about it. We're being very frivolous now because we've gone over the serious stuff, and we'll leave that up to the people that actually know what the fuck they're doing. not us four knuckleheads. We knew that Roman was winning, and none of us really care. So all right, whatever. Sure. No knock on Roman, and I've tried to beat the drum for him because it's not really his fault, per se, but it is what it is. But the feud that really is going to have to be taken care of, and the one that's got to probably be fired off quick is Edge and Orton, because that's pretty hot right now.
Yeah,
and I don't know how long they thought Edge was going to stick around, or what the fuck was going on, or who knows.
Yeah.
So that's the interesting thing. What I think they should
unless they want to do something where it seems crazy given what started the feud in the first place, but if they want to quote unquote suspend Edge for 30 days because of what he did to MVP, that's a way that you can prolong it.
You can
without them actually physically interacting.
Sure. Yeah.
I think they'll have a fun show on tomorrow night on SmackDown. And then if they do fire it off on tomorrow, the news, I think Monday's Raw will be very interesting. And it might be the most watched Raw in a long time.
Yeah. You know, I think ratings could actually benefit because if people are like locked down and we're kind of stuck sitting at home, we're just going to be watching TV. And if we're not going to be watching basketball or any sports, I mean, WWE and AEW could actually benefit greatly from this in terms of getting new viewers. Or old viewers.
I mean, seriously, think about it. Yeah. WWE, AEW, although AEW's in a pickle right now because next week's Dynamite's from Rochester and they've got positive cases. So,
yep. Yeah.
Is it confirmed that they've moved it to Orlando?
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, yeah. Yep.
Did they?
I think that stadium that they did Fighter, is it not Fighter Fest?
Bayley's.
Fight for the Fallen.
Fight for the Fallen.
Yeah, Fight for the Fallen. Yeah, it's going to be in there with the same thing, like limited access to the audience.
Of all places,
all Dark Order members in the crowd.
Yes,
I don't know if it's confirmed, but I saw one of the sites reporting that they could pull the old Impact trick of recording a few episodes.
Yeah.
So that way, if they have to shut down, they can still air Dynamite for the next month.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that would suck for. And that would suck for that impact. Look what you did to me, Nate. Dynamite, although, that's not a slip of the tongue. The Dynamite in a couple weeks in Newark where they're doing, you know, AEW War Games.
And that's canceled. Yeah, and that's canceled as well.
And that's bad.
Blood and guts is how you get the virus. That's what I've heard, so.
Yeah. And that's Tony exactly. Khan's, that's Tony Khan's building. So, you know, they can do whatever the hell they want. Sure, they don't have to worry about the stadium coming and saying, no, you're not doing this.
I also think, too, both of these companies would benefit from heavy story stuff. And you could do video packages. You can do sit-down record. You don't even have to do that many matches for these shows to fill in gaps. You know, especially WWE. You could do all kinds of just video hype. You know,
if you're bored at home.
And they're great at it.
Yeah.
And if you're bored at home and you're saving money now by not paying for a room and not paying a Mania ticket and a takeover ticket and whatever – think of all of the streaming sites now. The network will get some spikes. Impact Plus might get some spikes. New Japan World might get some spikes. Is there any others? Fight TV may get some, you know.
Honor Club.
Honor Club might get some. No, will not. At least to watch the past stuff, because nobody wants to watch the present stuff.
Not from Steve Willie.
ROH had to bag this weekend's show, which is tough because our good friend at Place to Be Nation, John Walters, was making his big return match. And that's a bummer because we love John. So that sucked.
Don't make that up. That was a big concept show.
Was that Yuji Nagata? Was he going to be on that one?
That's coming up the War of the Worlds tour in May.
Oh, so okay. That may not be affected then.
But my prediction is Sunday, June 14th will be
okay.
WrestleMania. Yeah. WrestleMania in the bank.
WrestleMania in a hot swamp.
I know, it's going to be hot as fuck. But, you know what? It's
hours with a wet ass crack.
Wow, I didn't even think about that. June in Florida. Wow.
Yeah. But SummerSlam will still be in Boston, and I'm going to that. So I'm okay. I'm okay. So again, hopefully this podcast is not moderately dated within the next few days. Sure. Because I have a feeling we are going to, because the legal team put out that thing saying the WWE is still very fiscally solvent, and that's pretty much them saying this fucks up. Let's put it this way, we're not. It pretty much was saying in layman's terms, we won't be going broke.
Sure. And we know that. And they won't.
And they won't.
But some of these other companies that put a lot into this weekend, that weekend shows, they might really be screwed.
Yeah. No,
like, I mean. Because if there's one thing I wanted to go to that I'm sure was free of any viruses, it was Joey Ryan's penis party. I mean, it's got to be the cleanest party, cleanest event. Or at the
I think the requirement is you have to have a virus to get in.
What's the other one? Effie's Gay Brunch? Is that the other one?
Yep, and then Faye Jackson's Sweatpants Battle Royal.
The Bi-Curious Battle Royal, I think it's called, or whatever.
Yeah. I'll tell you, wrestling's already a niche product.
Oh, God, it's so good.
We are fighting the nichiest of the niche.
Of the niche.
Nichey.
Effie sat behind us at AEW. He was like two rows behind us. Because we had to have our seats moved. Because we were too close to where the announcers were. So we got an email the night before.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So they put us kind of in the middle, like 10 rows up. And the great seats. And then when we left, we turned around and there was like, it must have been like the guest area, because Mance Warner was there. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him from MLW. He's kind of a.
Yeah, I know the name.
Yeah, a guy was hilarious. Epi was there. And then I think a couple of the relatives were up there too. It was like this little section they opened up on the camera side. Cool. So, yeah. And here's another Effie story. I've never seen Effie wrestle. I just know of him through that show.
Same here. Yeah.
So, you know, I was at I've talked with you guys significantly over the last couple of weeks about, you know, my experience. But Effie was at the hotel and probably trying to make contacts. So I'm in the pantry of the hotel where you can buy your little snacks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's me and Tony Schiavone in line. Tony Schiavone looking through, and this is great because it goes with the gimmick that Britt Baker's doing with him, like trying to give him like skinny coffee drinks on AEW. Yes. So he was looking at the snacks and looking at all the caloric content, which, I ain't mad at you. I do that too. And, you know, make yourself healthy. That's great. So Effie comes up to him, introduces himself. Hey, I am Effie. And Tony Schiavone looks at him like, who the hell are you? Like, I would have had a better chance. And so Effie then goes,
pressure.
Because did Schiavone do MLW? Like, what was he announcing for a while?
Before he might have been, Court Bauer.
Okay. So Effie goes, yeah, you announced a couple of my matches. And Schiavone just has this blank look at his face. And he's just like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Which is universal code for still not ringing a bell, dude.
Yeah.
Universal code for get the fuck away from me.
And you just see this poor man just like deflate.
Never meet your heroes.
Yeah. Poor Effie. Don't worry, he had his earrings in too, Schiavone.
I wonder what Effie was thinking of that.
WWE, WWE stock, by the way, down 68% over the year. You know, from we talked about this when their first crashed.
Yeah. No, it's going to happen. I mean,
yeah,
I think it's already done. Now, if this was 1997, we might be having a slightly different conversation because Vince answers to nobody.
He might try and roll the dice.
Yeah.
Yep.
But since he's got stockholders who are going to tell him, you do this and the stock will be like a dollar. No, that's not happening.
If this were 1997, Vince would be in the middle of Raymond James Stadium. Like, people are scared of the virus. Well, I control the virus. My right-hand man, Cyrus the Virus.
Cyrus. You know who it'll look like?
Or like, he'll Vince, do not use a national tragedy to get Don Callis over. That's not what we're doing today.
And he's going to wear – did you guys – I'm sure you guys all watched Batman Beyond. It's the one the guy, the orange guy with the fucking spiral in his face, that guy, that's who Cyrus the Virus is gonna be. Oh, what the fuck was his name?
The special effects guy.
I can't think of his fucking name. Anyway, good bad guy on, by the way, if anyone's never seen it, Batman Beyond is a tremendous cartoon. I won't say it's better than the animated series, because that's arguably one of the greatest animated shows,
like animated series, Justice League, like Top notch.
But Batman Beyond's very good. Grumpy, like no teeth Bruce is pretty awesome.
Yes. And then we just got to see him in live action recently.
Yes, we did. Kevin did it. But I do think if they ever do a Batman Beyond movie, they've got to get Michael Keaton. He'd be an awesome grumpy Bruce. Mm. Awesome grumpy.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
Because right now, George Clooney be like, no. And Val Kilmer looks like Jabba the Hutt. So yeah,
Fat Man.
Fat Man. Boshuda. How do you think in general, then we'll go to break, but how do you think, I'll start with you, JD. Mm-hmm. Look ahead the next 60 days in the wrestling business, not just WWE, not just AEW. Because, you know, guys, my beloved pay-per-view coming up next month might get affected too, and that's the Crockett Cup. I know no one's talked about the state of Georgia, but, you know, Chad's not sick, so that's a good thing. But, you know, we don't know what's going on. So I'll go around the horn. I'll start with you, JD. How do you think the next 60 days in the wrestling business will go?
Well, I believe what they're saying is, like, the CDC is advising to avoid gatherings. What is it, 250 people or more?
Yeah.
Is that kind of what they're saying? So, like, companies like – I'm stealing Steve Willey's joke here. But, like, companies like Evolve are still fine to hold their shows.
Oh.
But I really do think, like, your local, you know, neighborhood shows, obviously the lowest level of professional wrestling, probably doesn't gather that. Probably could still have their shows. But I think what we'll see with, like, Impact and Ring of Honor and stuff, I think the safest, smartest thing is to just hold a whole batch of tapings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tape – 2-3 months out. And, you know, and then if things resolve themselves, you know, if this turns out to be, you know, we overreacted and nothing really happened, cool, life goes back to normal. You can scrap those tapings if you want. You can stick with them if you want. In a way, it's almost like you kind of have options then. But I think that's the smartest thing we see from any of these companies is just to, because if you're going to be doing stuff every week, then you're still involving travel. Even if you're doing stuff without crowds, you're still having your guys travel and go places and risk exposure and things like that. I think the safest, smartest thing, I'm thinking Ring of Honors, Impacts, even AEW, is to hold, you know, find yourself a place where you can have a decent looking setup. I don't know how you do a crowd, if you do a crowd at all, and just tape a batch of stuff. I think that's the smartest thing. I think WWE is going to have to do something a little differently just because they are looked at as the major league stuff. But I think their production department is so, like, not just top of the wrestling world, but like top of, like, they rival any sport, you know, their productions. I think they could get away with, for a while, doing shows that are heavily produced and stuff like the documentaries we see on the network. They could just air that on Raw. Like those 24s and things like that. Like, they could do that for a while and coast just off their talents that they have, not with their in-ring guys, but with their their documentary crews and things like that. I mean, how cool would that be for a couple of weeks if they said the road to WrestleMania, and it was just, we just saw profiles of the different guys, and we saw sit down interviews, and we saw them at home, and we saw them in the gym training, and we saw like almost like a documentary style lead up to WrestleMania, and each week focus on 2-3 matches, and you saw each guy preparing. I think that could be a really cool concept. I don't know how the ratings would play out, but honestly, the ratings don't really matter. They got their money anyways. Yeah. But I think on the smaller scale with the Ring of Honor and the Impact are the two that come to mind the most. I think the smartest thing to do is tape 2-3 months worth of stuff in as little amount of time as you can. If it's, you could do it in one night, do it. I don't know that you could do that much in one night, but over the course of a couple weekends, same thing with NWA, which they kind of do already do tapings, don't they?
Yeah. They do.
But you know, just double your taping load, you know? I think that's the smartest thing. But I think the key is to find a base too. Because I think travel is something that people are actually going to be more worried about than going to events. You know, if they start having events again, I think people are going to be willing to go, but I think people are going to be afraid to maybe fly and be in close proximity and travel places. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the wrestlers are going to be immune to that. You know, I think there's a reason why we're seeing athletes are ones who are testing positive and celebrities, because these are the people who are going around the world. These are the people who are in contact with tons of people. I work from my house, you know, I see my family, you know, like I don't shake a whole lot of hands. But I think they find a base, they find a place where they can bring their crew. They don't go week to week to different places. They go to that place for 2-3 weekends and knock out a season worth of stuff. I think that's the smartest and the safest, and honestly, probably the most cost effective way to do it.
What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, cost effective, especially if you're not going to be bringing in income for tickets and such.
Yeah.
And a lot of these companies, like you're in, like have bases or in the Orlando or Florida area. Like NXT is based out of there. They do like their little tours where they hop on the buses. They could still do those. They only go to like 200, 250 people to those, like 400 max. They could do something like that. Scott, you watch NWA mm-hmm. more than the rest of us. How many does that little studio hold?
It looks like about 150 to 300, wouldn't you
probably
say?
Probably about 300, and I think they stretch it to maybe 500 for Into the Fire and Hard Times, the two pay-per-views. Yeah.
So they might be
for the power tapings, probably like 300.
They might be able to pull that off.
Yeah.
You know, you just limit it to 200 people if the limit in that state is 250. I know that AEW, like Tony Khan, came out and said, hey, if someone's not interested, if they're worried about wrestling or anything like that, we won't make you do it. You won't have any – we'll still pay you. We won't have any effect on your push or anything like that. I did like him coming out and saying that, but you might see a couple – of these indies go on with their show just because of trying to stay solvent.
Yeah.
And maybe even some of these WrestleMania shows, I don't know, like these smaller ones. I know WXW canceled, but they canceled because they can't get their people from Germany over. So yeah, I don't know. I do like the idea of doing more backstage videos for AEW and WWE. They've both been doing very well with that. And then maybe putting one of those Mania matches on a Raw, like I said, and build up with the video. Like do Rhea versus Charlotte. Heck, if you're worried about Edge, do Randy Orton versus Edge in the PC. You can put him outdoors
in on an island
ring. On an island, and you won't have to worry about anybody getting sick. But you know, you can do like they had a was it? I haven't watched it yet, but Gargano and Ciampa had a huge brawl at the PC. You could do that with Orton and Edge. Now they're not going to, but if you think outside the box, you could do some really cool stuff.
Yeah,
Nate, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, to again reiterate what we're talking about off top, you know, this is not a joke. This is not a game. This is serious business. Like, it's so serious, in fact, Steve Willie, that it knocked the Caucasian back into Chet Hanks. when he found out his mom and daddy contracted coronavirus. For anybody that doesn't know, Chet Hanks is a lovely white man who, for some reason, woke up one morning and thought he was Jamaican, and he's been Jamaican ever since. But if you watch Chet Hanks on Twitter last night, he was speaking in a very clear American accent with no Jamaican affectations whatsoever. So Corona scared an entire dialect out of this man. I agree with a lot of what's been said. I think that if you're one of the bigger companies, your cutoff for doing shows is probably like the middle of next week. Yeah. Because I do think like we're going to get worse before we get better in terms of the number of cases that are reported and the number of people that are getting sick. So I think like the middle of next week, maybe next weekend, if you want to stretch it, that's kind of the cutoff for when you can get your tapings in. I do like the idea of more storytelling because honestly, I feel that's what's been missing in WWE in particular in this build to WrestleMania is some of the storytelling. Like, why should I care about Drew and Brock? Why should I care about Roman and Goldberg? You know, why should I care about some of these other matches? You know, and now you have time to tell these stories. For AEW, I think, you know, anybody that's watched Being the Elite or anybody that's watched, you know, the pre pay-per-view shows that they've done with these like sit down interviews and stuff, they can do very well in that aspect. And I think particularly if, you know, the Matt Hardy rumors are true, that's a whole show right there, you know, because Impact did a whole show basically based around Broken Matt. And you can do a similar thing, just filming stuff with Matt on the farm down in Cameron. And that can be an episode, and the AEW fans will eat that up. I think that it's something that, honestly, a lot of these companies, I wish, well, not even these companies. I mean, if we're being real, the country probably should have taken this more seriously a couple weeks ago when all that stuff was going crazy in China, but we didn't. So now we have to kind of work on the fly. And so I think like smaller companies might be okay. Like your local indies, your lower mid tier companies, no offense, but this is kind of where they are right now, like an Impact or ROH or MLW or even an NWA. I think they'll be all right. AEW, I think they'll be straight because again, if they go to dailies down in Jacksonville and just do a bunch of shows this weekend, they'll be straight. The question is, for the WWE, you know, the question is where it always ends up with the industry leader, how they are going to get through this time period. And so, you know, this is an opportunity for them to either fall into old habits and old tropes or to, you know, take this crisis and use it as an opportunity to tell different stories, to tell newer stories, to still engage your fan base, even if you can't have, you know, 3 hours of matches every Monday night. This is going to be a very interesting time to see what these entertainment companies do. And I'm interested to see how they can go forth with this because the appetite for the product is not going to diminish. As JD mentioned, it's probably going to increase if people start kind of isolating themselves from the general public. So this is an opportunity, you know, it's a tragic event, but it's also, if you're in the business of creating stories, if you're in the business of producing content, this is a time to, you know, really step your game up. And I'm interested to see what Vince in particular decides to do in these next couple weeks.
So 2 weeks from now was going to be our annual mega WrestleMania weekend preview.
Now we have to keep it under 250 people.
Yeah, we have to keep it under 250 people, which means, speaking of a lot of people with viruses, we could just do more TNA, Steve. I mean, really. Brian Lawler didn't care. We'll get to that later. Great first segment, guys.
Yes.
But now, we are now going to go back in time to a place where the virus may have been created. So, Steve, you had the shoe, and it is time for our newest installment of the New Japan Classic Match Picks.
Ooh.
Mm. Now, okay. I felt bad.
Using the word classic, huh?
Yeah, you very. Vintage.
Vintage, yeah.
Now, when we started this segment back in the day, my first turnaround with the shoe was that Antonio Inoki-Andre match from 19... And Chad trashed me because of it. Steve, on the other hand, usually like picks like Liger or fucking Muda or some other 105-pound person flipping around. So when Nate handed you the shoe for your turn, I said to myself, ooh, we're going to get something saucy. Well, we got something saucy, all right.
Okay, go back to 19... Let me explain.
Go ahead.
Let me explain here.
So yes, 19... yes, explain yourself, Steve Willie.
So 1987, October 4th, the Gan-Ryujima death match between Antonio Inoki versus Masa Saito. So in February, New Japan canceled all of their events for March in like two stages. So they had the whole New Japan Cup. They had the Sakura Genesis card. People were really looking forward to this. It had a great lineup. And so that they were canceled. And they're like, okay, we have this NJPW World Service. We can't just, you know, refund everyone's money or not put anything on it. So they started putting a lot of like kind of unique content, just like we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. They put on some like talk shows. They had Naito and Takahashi do like I don't even know what you would call it. Like basically in an auditorium talking and doing some comedy and getting their match set up because they were going to main event the anniversary show. And then they've put up all of these anniversary matches for free and just some odd and end stuff. Like they put up a Ring of Honor match from 2014. It was AJ Styles versus Elgin versus Okada, a Tanahashi versus Charlie Haas match from 2011. Wow. So just these kind of random matches. And Jordan knows this. Like we're big fans of wrestling that's just a little bit different. Like, yep. You know, we've done the DDT live watches, and I'm always intrigued by those when you push the boundaries of what wrestling can do. Like, or like venues even. Like you know, the Shamrock Owen Hart match in the dungeon. Didn't work out so well, but it was a cool concept. I appreciate the fact that they gave it a try. So when I saw that this match existed and that it was outdoors, I'm like, oh, this looks like my cup of tea to give this a try. And originally I looked for it on Daily Motion because they said on New Japan World that it was going to be released, but it wasn't on there yet. And I found what was the original commercial tape that they released back in the day. And it was 60 minutes. And that's what I sent along to you guys. And a couple days ago, they put it up on New Japan World. So I'm like, oh, cool. I'll just watch it on here. I have it on Amazon on my big TV, so it will look a little better. I clicked the video. It was an hour and 43 minutes. That's a full-length game, guys, or full-length movie. And I'm like, oh, man. Well, I picked this. I should be the one who goes through the entire thing. I just thought it would be right. Meanwhile, they drop more matches that look way better than what we did. So this is why I picked it. I thought it was kind of novel to do this considering the coronavirus and that New Japan World had to kind of shut all their shows down. So it would fit in with the theme of the show. And boy, I'm sorry.
Well, speaking of full-length movies, Steve Willie, do you remember the great cinematic classic Men in Black 2?
Oh, yes.
You remember at the end of the movie where we get the little stinger where the, you know, they save the day and they go back to the locker and Rosario Dawson goes off to another planet. So Will Smith's feeling kind of blue. And so Rip Torn and Tommy Lee Jones are trying to cheer up his spirits and they open the locker and it's filled with those nasty rat people from Grand Central Station. And Will Smith looks to the camera and he's talking to Tommy Lee Jones and he's like, "Okay, why you put them nasty rats in my locker, man?" And after watching this match, I'm looking at you, Steve Willie, through through the power of technology, saying, "Steve Willie, why'd you put this crazy match in my face, man?"
He tricked me. See, listen, as a lifelong fan of CBS reality shows, I saw an island and I saw tiki torches, and I thought I was going to see Boston Rob and Jeff Probst. And what I saw instead was, well, I felt like I wasn't going to survive.
So I had Scott, who I love dearly, was very nice to me today and yesterday. And I'm like, Scott, I mean, you could have made me do play by play like I usually did. I did this to all of you. I passed on the coronavirus of professional wrestling.
Yes, Steve Gobert, Rudy Willie.
Go Bears. And you said, you know, we don't need the play-by-play. So I I watched the first 45 minutes of this while scrolling my phone last night. And then went to the gym this morning and watched the other 55 minutes. Which got a really good workout in, because I'm like, I'm not going to stop until this thing is over. So I did just like do like a few little sentences of what went on. I mean, how do you want to do this, guys? Like, do you want me to just read the highlights? Because this could have been a 16-minute match.
There's highlights?
There are a couple.
The highlight is Masa Saito walks into the backyard. He grabs a hamburger, stands in the ring, waits 45 minutes for Antonio Inoki to gawk his way through the bushes.
I will be positive, though, Steve. I'll start off with some positives before we get realistic on this match.
Yeah.
I think we can see how revolutionary this match was, because in this one single match, not only do we have the seed, the mustard seed that grew into the Dungeon of Doom. Not only do we have the kernel that grew into the final deletion, because there's a lot of Matt Hardy in this. Like, I'm sure Matt was...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Matt and Jeff were probably getting high, and Jeff's talking about his imagination, and they're watching this match, and you know what? We could do that, brother. But I think this match right here, somewhere there was a 5-year-old Kenny Omega. And young Kenneth was watching this match, and it changed his life. It told him what was possible in the world. It allowed young Kenneth Omega to dream.
All I was looking forward to was seeing Blofeld come out of the helicopter with Oddjob, Goldfinger and Oddjob or something. Harold Sakata or fucking or Rock's grandfather coming out on
I have never wanted to see a helicopter go down more than I did during. I never thought I would feel that way. But I don't know about on the commercial version, but on the full one, the first 30 minutes, that helicopter was so loud. And I didn't even have like my speakers on, like on my TV. It was just my TV because everyone was sleeping. And it was so loud.
But I don't know who the fuck was there. Like, this ring was white, and it was like a white canvas and a white apron and white ropes. And I'm like, I was waiting for Vader to come out saying it was the White Ring of Fear.
I'm telling you, all of the great matches over the last 30 years have been influenced by this match.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, the benefit of the white mat is when everyone got busted open, especially, like, shout out to Saito. Like, they were wrestling so hard, and he was sweating so hard. That he was a mess.
Well, if you're chin locked 3 feet away from a tiki torch, you're going to sweat too, man.
Yeah, Jesus. I will say this. I did like how the sun kind of set and they started wrestling.
Yeah,
I thought that was kind of cool.
I like the tanker boat going through the first 15 minutes. That was kind of cool.
The lead up
for Baba to jump out of the helicopter and start like spraying the place with bullets or something.
Yeah, all the preamble, and I don't want this to sound stereotypical, because I'm going to reference Asian cinema. But the lead up to this felt like it was ripped out of straight out of Enter the Dragon. Like, where everybody's got to come to this one mysterious location, and there's so much so happy to see you, Mr. Lee. And then for some reason, Jim Kelly's here. And then here's Chuck Norris. And so, but instead of all these great charismatic figures, we have Inoki, who, again, not a favorite in this segment because of Scott's pick. Like, I think Scott doomed us with Inoki matches. And then you got Saito, who's good. Like you said, Steve, Saito's good, but like Saito's not the most electrifying on-screen presence.
No.
Okay. So it's like we had all this preamble for these guys. It's like,
I love that Inoki, and this is when I asked Jordan to watch this. In the first minute of the long version, yeah, you see Saito just like at his tent, like just looking like a badass, like he's ready to go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is, and then you see Inoki and he's like kind of half hiding behind a tree. Like he's like, if I hide here, Masa's not going to see me.
It's fucking ridiculous.
And then Masa sees him and like he starts walking to the ring and Inoki's like, hold my beer, walks behind the tent, his tent. And I'm like, and then comes out like a minute later, and I swear to God, I thought like, what was he doing? I think he took a leak.
Yes, he's marking his territory.
I think he was like, man, I'm going to be going for an hour and 40, and I better go, because he went back for like a minute, came back, and nothing had changed.
Yep. Nate was just pissed that Bob Sapp didn't come out of the helicopter.
I mean, that would have added some spice to the proceedings if we had Bob Sapp. Actually, given the cinematic scope of this match, Bob Sapp would have come out of the ocean like Godzilla. Yeah, probably. They would have used like the Keith Lee shot.
Yes.
Yeah. More innovation from New Japan. Yeah.
I was just flabbergasted, but I was just fascinated at the dusk, and then all of a sudden they're bleeding, and it was just so surreal. Like I didn't know what I was watching. It felt like backyard wrestling.
It was so Final Deletion. Like that, the whole time I'm watching this, I'm like, this is exactly what Matt and Jeff had to be watching.
I was waiting for midgets to fly out of the helicopter. Little Skylo Low and fucking Tiger Jackson.
It's actually SmackDown on PlayStation 2. I know you can throw people off those helicopters if you can get up there.
How come this has never been a game mode in SmackDown versus Raw or Fire Pro Wrestling? Island Deathmatch needs to be in the next game. AEW, the ball's in your court.
Heck yeah.
Absolutely. And the minimum length of the match is an hour and 43 minutes.
Yes.
Who cuts the grass on the island, too? Because it's pretty well maintained.
The guy who, the announcer that lit the torches. Because that was one of the announcers.
He's the groundskeeper.
Did they show that when they had a brief cut, like 20 minutes or so in, where you see the announcers, and one was on his knees, and the other was like holding the microphone for them, and they were like whispering, like it was especially at the end of the match, they were whispering like they were at the Masters, like Jim Nance was out there or something.
It's an event like none other. The Island Death Match. Hello, friends.
Antonio hiding in the shrubs.
Dropping a deuce.
Saito on the approach. Oh, he's busted open again.
It's time for another 7-minute headlock. It's okay, folks. There's an hour and 36 minutes left in this.
Saito's pulling out his wood. Smacks Inoki in the head with it. Inoki does not blade.
No, oh, here come the women out of the hot tub. It's time now for the mid-match bath.
This is how you can tell who was running things, Steve Willie.
Mm-hmm.
This is complete overindulgence by one Mr. Antonio Inoki.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because you know from the beginning he was winning.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is Lawler in Memphis.
Yep.
Fucking Fritz, Triple H anywhere in the world. I mean, that's perfect. That's exactly how it is. Anywhere in the world.
And this match inspired a young Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
That's right. That's right. To realize I can control everything.
This match is the most influential match of the 20th century.
Century, yes. Oh, man.
And then they like roast a pig after the match. It's pretty.
Why is there not a 30 for 30 on this match?
Heck yeah.
Tiki's and choppers. That's gonna be the name.
What if I told you a match went 2 hours and you still don't care what happened?
What if I told you that? What if I told you that one guy pulled his wood out for a weapon and the other guy pulled his wood out to relieve him? All right. Ooh. Steve, you're not handing me the shoe. I'm taking the fucking shoe after that
one. No, you can have it.
Yo, Jesus. All right. Well, I
give this match 2 tiki torches out of 10.
2 out of 10. Yes. Dave Meltzer says 47 tikis. he was in the chopper. That's what he was doing. And what's his name? What the fuck? The one that takes the pictures. The fuck's his name? Bill Apter and Meltzer were in the fucking chopper. Meltzer stars out the door, and Bill was taking pictures of Inoki's ass while he was taking it in the bushes.
Jordan, I don't know if you sent me this tweet today, but it was a Meltzer tweet and basically saying that he didn't like this match at all.
Yeah, it's weird. Of all days today, somebody asked Dave Meltzer if he watched this match. He goes, I don't think I liked it.
So what if I told you there was a New Japan match that Dave Meltzer didn't like?
Would you believe?
Would you believe 2 tikis? Oh, God. Anyway, I'll find a way to cleanse us from that.
Inoki Pictures presents a documentary by Inoki Films, directed by Antonio Inoki.
No, Inoki. Yes,
on the Starring island. In alphabetical order, Antonio Inoki.
It'll just be 2 hours of Inoki just sitting with a close-up camera shot talking about the match. Like, do we get any input from Saito? No.
No, he's not around.
Inoki's like, it's the perfect time to put out my side of the story.
my side. All right. So before we go, guys, we didn't...
What if I told you a match on an island was anything but paradise? Steve Willie presents.
Meanwhile, Bill's camera shows Inoki taking a shit in the bushes. Oh, God. All right. So
blame it on the virus, Steve Willie. I don't hold this against you. You weren't thinking in your right mind.
Yeah.
Correct.
You're delirious. Take a cold pack. Z pack, whatever pack it is. Before we wrap up, we did not mention any number 44s. Nate Milton, I acquiesced to you to not mention anybody in the A block. So I think we know one 44 I'd like to mention, and I'm sure you would like to mention him too.
I got one too.
He is hanging in my closet, Steve Willie.
Uh-oh.
It is the actual, real all-time home run king, not Mr. Whiny Pants from earlier in the week. And that is, of course, Mr. Henry Aaron, skinny guy who hit 755 home runs, and his head didn't have to look like a pumpkin to do it.
Yes, the greatest of the 44s, I would argue.
There's no doubt about that. Another 44 that I loved, he was a teammate of arguably one of the greatest of all time, number 44 of the San Francisco Giants, Mr. Willie McCovey. Love Willie McCovey. Oh, what a masher. Let's see. Are there any 44s? I'm sure there's 44s in baseball. There's 44s in baseball. I'm not remembering. Mr. Reginald Martinez Jackson.
Yep.
44 with the Yankees. I think everybody else except the first stint with Oakland in the 70s, he wore number 9. But and that is retired. Oh, God. Any other baseballs, guys, before I get to football? Because there's one big football that I have on the top of my head, even though it's on a team I hate. But
my favorite current MLB player is Anthony Rizzo.
Rizzo
for the Cubs.
Rizzo.
Good dude.
Yes. Cool. Are there any 44s on the Tigers, Jordan? Not that their number of wins this season, but they're
none jump to mind.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Yeah. No.
Yes.
Any other?
I honestly can't think of the Tiger.
You say? Did you say McCovey?
Yes, I said McCovey. Yep.
Yep.
Any other 44s, Nate? Baseball?
Nothing that's spring to the top of mind.
No, I think Mr. Aaron and Mr. McCovey and,
yeah,
and Rizzo are perfect right there. In football, there's a ton. There's a few 44s. The one off my head, who drove me nuts in the early 80s.
Well, I know
former
where you're going.
Jet, former Washington Redskin, the Diesel, John Riggins.
Had a pretty good sports show here in DC for a little while.
Yes, yes, he did. And he also had a show on Yes. He had a football show on Yes, too. God, there's a – Jesus. Steve, any 44s on the
– I love going into the NFL Hall of Fame when we talk about these and look up guys who we have never heard of, like offensive linemen from the 20s or whatever. So I am currently looking up that as well. Arnie Weinmeister.
Yes, the great Weinmeister.
Six seasons.
I think he's a Batman villain.
Weinmeister. The Weinmeister.
The class of 1984. One of the first defensive players to captivate the masses.
That's how you know he's old.
Yeah. He's from Saskatchewan.
Nobody knew how to tackle until old Arnie Weinmeister stepped on the field.
Doesn't even say what team he played on. Oh, Washington. They list his height as 0 foot.
The Decatur Staleys.
0 foot 0 inches.
Yep. Yep.
It's a defensive marvel.
Played this well above his
might be familiar. Leroy Kelly, Cleveland Browns.
Leroy Kelly. Back.
Yes.
Ernie Davis played for Syracuse and the Broncos.
The Express. Didn't he have a movie made about him?
Everybody's All American. No, that was a different. That was a different guy. Well, Everybody's All American had. Oh no, Ernie Davis had a movie about him. I'm thinking of the movie with Dennis Quaid.
I'm thinking about Chadwick Boseman play. I think Chadwick Boseman played Davis. Maybe I might be thinking of a different movie.
No, you might be right.
Not sure.
Let's see, football, basketball.
There's one more football name out there that's in your hall, Steve Willie, because I'm on the same page.
Okay.
Can I entice you in another defensive marvel? Goes by the name of Mr. LeBeau.
Dick?
Oh, Dick LeBeau.
Yeah.
And ended up becoming a great great coordinator.
Yeah. I was going to say, might have been a better coach than player.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of those. In the NBA.
The Express, the Ernie Davis story starring Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Chadwick Boseman plays all of the great historical black athletes.
Yes, he does. He was not go down two numbers, and he was in 42.
Yep,
he was an exceptional Jackie Robinson. By the way, he was very good. That was a great movie. I saw it in the Poconos. I don't think I even saw that at home. Great movie though. I know one 44 in the NBA.
Yes, the greatest of all time. Some would say. Some would say. Maybe the argument that he should be the logo of the NBA. Steve Willie knows who I'm talking about. The one and only Mr. Derek Coleman.
The logo.
What, sleeping?
There's no room for the NBA.
If you wear double XL jerseys, he's the logo.
It'll just be a logo of a player with a ski mask and a gun sticking up team for money.
I was thinking about somebody else. I thought you were coming up with a real guy, Nate. Dude, I totally forgot about Derek Coleman. It's easy to forget. I was thinking of a certain guy before Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Before the Admiral, he was the pride and joy of San Antonio, Texas. I am talking, of course, about the Iceman, George Gervin.
Yep.
Tremendous. Probably one of the greatest players who has empty fingers. That guy deserved a ring, but San Antonio was always like the third or fourth best team in the Western Conference during the Showtime years. Mm-hmm.
God.
It's the actual logo.
Yes, the actual logo.
The actual logo. Yeah. Duh. Yes, the actual logo. For player for my team, former GM for my team, and may have taken Kobe's death harder than anybody else because he engineered that trade for that pick. I'm, of course, talking about the logo, Mr. Jerry West.
Yes.
Any Celtics?
There's a lot of good 44s.
There's a Celtic, yeah. All right.
So. There's a great Celtic. Which it's fitting that you bring up Kobe RIP because there might be a white Mamba on this list.
I was thinking the red Mamba, but yeah, the white Mamba.
Scalabrini? Oh.
Yes.
Danny Ainge, speaking of annoying white guys that play for the Celtics.
Yes. There's a lot of really good 44s.
There is. There is.
Adrian Dantley.
AD. Oh, yeah. Shit. AD.
Drazen Petrovic.
Was Rick Mahorn 44, Jordan?
No. I think he was 42.
No, not Rick Mahorn, but I will give you a Rick Fox.
Rick Fox wore 44 a couple times for a couple teams. Yeah. Steve, I don't think we have any hockeys, right? I don't think there's any 44.
Keith Van Horn?
You were right. Rick Mahorn was 44 in the Pistons.
He was 44. Rick Van
Horn. I think he was 42 for whatever reason.
Keith Van Horn, yep, 44.
Don Nelson.
Yes, Don Nelson, described on the page on Yahoo Sports I'm looking at, a Hall of Famer turned marijuana farmer. Wore 44 as a rookie for the Chicago Zephyrs, turned to number 19 in Boston. Elvin Hayes.
You know you're old if you played on a team named the Zephyrs.
Exactly. What a great nickname.
Not too many modern-day Zephyrs.
Zephyrs. We are the Zephyrs. Who did you say, Steve?
Elvin Hayes.
Oh, Elvin Hayes.
Yep.
Elvin Hayes, a tremendous player at the University of Houston, and won a championship with the 78 Bullets. So, there you go.
Richard Jefferson, Channing Frye. There's a couple quality players on the list.
There is, yeah. A lot of good 44s, yes.
Rod Thorne, known more for being a coach and an executive, I'd say.
Perkins is on the list.
A lot of good players. And Richard Jefferson, yeah.
A lot of good players. And Richard Jefferson.
And Brian Scalabrini.
And Sean Bradley, who starred in Space Jam.
That's weird, because right, I saw that. I thought Sean Bradley was 76. Was that just when he was on the Sixers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just when he was on the 76ers. Ha, 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 ha.
Tyler Zeller. This is a good number for tall, gangly, white centers and power
Tyler
forwards.
Tyler Zeller? That's just
like you're either a great point guard or you're just somebody to pick up five fouls in the post.
Exactly, and you come off the bench. You're like,
or you're Richard Jefferson.
Yeah.
Richard Jefferson. Did we say him in the last episode, Steve? Greg Ostertag, right? Wasn't he 43?
Yeah, we mentioned him.
Yeah, we did mention. You never forget Steve's beloved Greg Ostertag.
Greg Ostertag was zero.
Greg Ostertag, good player on Fox. What was it? The college basketball game for Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
God, that game was great.
Yes. So, all right. Well,
I've got one more.
Oh boy. Jesus.
Now, it's a perfect way to end because this kind of brings us full circle because we started by talking about the coronavirus. And as many of you know, America's dad was stricken, Tom Hanks, which means he's probably going to have to hang up the cleats because when he was a back for the University of Alabama,
Forrest Gump
wore the number 44.
Wow.
Serendipitous. Well done, Jordan Duncan. Once you actually brought something to a podcast, that's great.
Thank you.
So... My mom always taught me that COVID is as COVID does.
I may not be a smart man, but I've got toilet paper in my house.
All right. Join us in 2 weeks, which was supposed to be episode 145, was supposed to be our WrestleMania weekend preview.
Now, who knows what it'll be?
Who knows what the fuck it'll be now? I can almost guarantee we will probably do the next TNA pay-per-view recap because we need to fill some kind of time. But 2 weeks from now, we may be talking about – we won't be talking about WrestleMania. Well, we might be, but we won't be talking about it for the following weekend. But we might be talking about something. JD, you're the best. most of the time. Body Pressure Luck, tremendous show. I was on the last episode, fought my ass off, but Ryan Everett, the fucking cyborg, when he gets fucking shimmer questions right, I would just walk off the set. I mean,
what the
fuck? What do you guys do? Jesus.
Well, we even rank our questions by like easy, medium, hard, very hard. And like, I'm just kind of checking as he's going, and I'm like, okay, he's going to get the easy, he's going to get the medium. And I'm reading these questions, and I'm like, I've never even heard this. As I'm reading it, I don't even know what the answer is.
Right.
And he just shits it up before I'm even done reading it.
Yeah. I mean, he's just fucking insane. So check out every month on here on the Police to Be Nation Wrestling feed, Body Pressure Luck, tremendous wrestling game show. My PIC, Mr. Rosero. Mm-hmm. And JD, and of course, Andy Atherton on his 408th podcast, although that one he doesn't talk much. He helps out on there as well. It's a great show. Check it out. New episode coming up this month or next month? This month.
Yeah, we're taping. Well, it's funny because March we're kind of doing a WrestleMania theme, and we are taping. Maybe by the time this comes out, we will have already taped.
Instead, you'll be doing questions about the bubonic plague and the Black Death.
Iron
Lung.
Different. Plagues and diseases.
Plagues and diseases.
For 500, Alex.
Yeah. Brother Nate, Kings of Sport Patreon. What do we got?
Yeah, so much on the Kings of Sport Patreon. There's actually a free episode up on the Patreon that just dropped last night, featuring myself and Marcus. We recorded it maybe an hour after the NBA announced that they were suspending the season, and we talked about the effects of the coronavirus on the world of sports and entertainment. And then we were able to get Alex Patel on the line, who I mentioned earlier, who is a doctor in Toronto who has experience with this. And we talked to him for about a good 15, 20 minutes. And he basically answered a lot of questions that people are having right now. So if you're somebody that has questions and you're not asking a doctor, you can check out that edition of the Kings of Sport and get some hard, cold scientific facts from a licensed physician and two guys that talk about wrestling. So between the three of us, you'll get some sound information. There's also the Twin. We dropped a new episode last weekend when it became evident that it was a two-man race in Tulsi. So the episode is called 2.5 Candidates, and it's out right now on the Kings of Sport Patreon feed, as well as a couple other shows. So you can check that out. $5 gets you in the door. At these prices, it's like you're stealing from me, but it's okay. Mm. You know, you check that out. And we'll probably get back and do another Kings of Sport episode in a week or so when a lot of these other things kind of shake out. But this is an interesting time for fans of sports and people that cover sports because, we'll be talking more about off the field issues than actual games for at least the next 2-3 weeks.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, we'll see what goes on. Steve, always a pleasure. Steve will be back with me in a couple of weeks, as well as with Nate, and who knows what else is going on. Check out the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. We have a ton of great shows. Ben Zanny with Row 1 Seat 1, Main Event, of course. Place to Be podcast is still there. Jenny and the Gems, ton of other great shows, and some new shows kind of in the development pipeline. Of course, Special Relations Pod with my fine mates from England and Heather 4-2 countries. Talking WCW, ton of other good stuff. So, So check that out. Check the Placement Nation Pop feed for some of the great shows on the Pop feed, including The Year in Pop and DC for You, Diamond Conversations, bunch of other good stuff there. As Nate mentioned, the Jenny position with all of her great shows, and the new North-South connection with JR and Chad. That's your new home for Wrestling Warzone and No Holds Barred, Jeff Learns Wrestling, the ECW three-way dance, a lot of great stuff there as well. So thanks for joining us as always. For Nate, for JD, for Steve, I am Scott. You have been in the main event, but it may be the last one for a while. Talk to you in 2 weeks about something.
Wash your hands.
Hey, Steve Willie.
Hey, Nate Milton.
I hate to do this, but after the match you picked this week, you don't deserve a funny joke. So please bring me my torch. The tribe has spoken. It's time for you to go.
Play your idol, Steve.
In the white room with curtains near the station. Black roof country, no gold pavements, tired starlings. Silver horses ran down moonbeams in your dark eyes. Dawnlight smile on you leaving my contentment. I'll wait in this place where the sun never shines. Wait in this place where the shadows run from themselves. You said no strings could secure you at the station. Kindness.